who controls the media controls the culture, says Dr. Ted Baer. He is my guest on today's edition of Encounter. He is the founder and the publisher of Movie Guide and the Family Guide to Movies and Entertainment, and also the chairman of the Christian Film and Television Commission. Dr. Baer, I am really honored to have you be a part of Encounter today.
Well, I'm honored to be on Encounter today. We've been friends for many, many years, and any time that we talk is exciting.
It really is. And I learned so much from you. In fact, I can't wait to hear the second part of your show, and I'm sure our guests will want to hear about it too, about your life and how you grew up in a star-studded home and what happened and how you got such a passion for investigating movies and recommending movies to people. But first of all, in this segment, we're going to talk about some of the hottest movies, why you should go, why you shouldn't go, how do you rate your movies. Dr. Baer, give us a thumbnail sketch about Movie Guide and what it's all about.
Movie Guide is a way to help families develop discernment. It's become very popular. It now reaches about 34 million people. In fact, they did a surprising poll last year from Hollywood Reporter reported on it, where they asked families what their favorite spot was, and a third of the families used Movie Guide, which was quite exciting.
Really?
There are other services that only have like 10% or 15%, and we get about 37%. So we're very careful to be accurate, and we're not thumbs up or thumbs down. What we do is we unpack the film. We look at the film in terms of lots of criteria, 150 criteria, some of which people know immediately that they want to know. Sex, violence, nudity, profanity, and all of that. But some of it which the people don't pay much attention to, but really do want to know, such as we can use the big words, ontology, epistemology, semantics, and tactics.
Hey, wait a minute. You better put this in layman words.
We could say it is worldview, their point of view, the religious perspective. So we cover everything. We cover the history. Is it historically accurate or not? And, of course, a lot of movies like the upcoming King Arthur, have nothing to do with history, by the way.
Really?
And the question is that important or not? Well, it's important because he who forgets history is doomed to repeat it. And there are a lot of movies that have great historical backgrounds. The Promise, which is about the Armenian Genocide, it's actually about three people, two Armenians and an American, who fight to stop the genocide, and it's a powerful, uplifting story. And then Bitter Harvest, about the Ukrainian Holodomor, which was when Stalin was cruelly killing people in the Ukraine, which the Soviet Union has confessed to. And it's a powerful movie. Both of those are promises coming out. Bitter Harvest is out right now. What's amazing, when I said that people have forgotten history, is that people have learned so much from the mass media that they don't understand what history was like. You know, Russia itself came to the conclusion that it killed 7 to 10 million Ukrainians in the Holodomor, most of them children, starved them to death, because to feed their armies, Stalin stole all the wheat and foodstuffs from the Ukraine. At first it was 90%, and then he decided, let's just steal 100%, and he's on record as killing 80 million people to 120 million people. But the reviewers out there say Stalin couldn't have been that bad, you know, Stalin couldn't have been this, which is ridiculous. So it's nice when you get history correct, and it's sad when you don't get it correct.
So what do you think about that movie? Is that movie correct?
Philosophy, we look at all these different aspects.
Now, is that movie correct? Should people go see it and look at it for its historical value?
Promise is good. It's for adults. It's not for children. And Bitter Harvest is also good for adults and not for children. So we also look at the acceptability for children. Sometimes there are mature themes. Anyway, we unpack movies in many different ways. And if you go to movieguide.org, you can get a complete perspective of how we look at movies to help people develop discernment and decide, is this what I want to go see or not?
Well, and you have news, you have reviews, you have magazine articles about them. You have tons of clips out there of the various movies. I love it. And it's a very accessible site if you're using a screen reader like I do. My computer talks to me, and it reads me the internet sites. And I'm telling you, Movie Guide is a great site. That's movieguide.org. org. Talk about the shack. This is something that's been out in the news. What do you think? And is it really true to what people think it is?
Well, the producer and co-writer of the shack is coming over in a half hour. So,
so you better say something nice, huh?
The Shack, unfortunately, in terms of filmmaking, is not a great piece of filmmaking.
Really?
Now, that is not to say that fans won't like it. Fans are fans, whatever you do. Fans of, let's take a very solid Christian Kirk Cameron, or fans of Kirk Cameron, even if he makes silly movies about Christmas that's almost unwatchable. And The Shack is very dry. You know, movies are action that propelled by the premise, and Finding Nemo is about finding Nemo. The Shack is more didactic and preaching and telling you things. And they try to escape some of the really serious theological problems.
The issues.
A pleasant way of saying heresies in the book by having it set in a frame.
Okay.
The frame is that Mac is going up to the shack and he gets in a car crash. He wakes up 3 days later after going to the shack in his dreams. And then his friend says, well, no, you've been in the hospital all these 3 days. So he never really went to the shack. So this is his imagination of what heaven is like. In terms of morality, there's some serious difficulties that we have with it, which anybody should have. Now, we're not saying to go or not go. Some people who love it are going to like it. Some people who are New Agers are going to get more New Agey and more occultic, and they're looking at the three major deities of Hinduism. But one of the problems is that little Mac doesn't like his father when he spanks him, when he disciplines him, so he poisons him with strychnine. Well, anybody who grew up on 120 acres like I did, because my parents were stars and they had a big, beautiful estate, you know, strychnine kills faster. It's rat poison. So, he rat poisons his father, never has to pay for that, and then the little girl is kidnapped by purportedly a pedophile. But the emotional pull of these would be tremendous. I mean, these are big things,
yeah.
But there's hardly a tear. In fact, Mac never sheds a tear, I don't think, in the movie, unless they took a sponge to his cheek and put it on him. I was sitting next to a big Hollywood star, and he couldn't imagine any directing that was more monochromatic, in other words, flat, than this movie. But the real problems, and that's not what you're asking about, the real problems are, what do we do theologically?
Mm-hmm.
Colossians 1:15 and a lot of other biblical passages says that Jesus Christ is the only visible manifestation of the invisible God. And throughout the Bible, Jesus says, no one has seen the Father, no, not one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. When they say that Jesus is the truth, in Hebrew the word truth means reveal. He reveals the fullness of God, but God himself is spirit. Nobody has seen God. So God doesn't look like George Burns. He doesn't look like Ted or Judith or any of that. God, the only visible image of God is Jesus Christ, not the postman, not the, you know, next door neighbor. He's Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit, then again, lives in us. We had St. Patrick's Day recently, so you have the St. Patrick explaining the Trinity to the Irish, who were terribly pagan, and then understanding it because of the shamrock. So what it is it's one substance, the homoousian debate, not two substance, not three substance, not two genders, not three genders. We don't have some lithe, beautiful Asian girl living inside of us. You could probably list about 20 theological difficulties with the shack that are not difficulties if you're a fan, and the movie is good at emphasizing forgiveness. It's a little bit of cheap grace, you know, you just forgive, there's no justice. But what it forgets is every major heresy starts with a bad theodicy.
Mm-hmm.
A theodicy is this: what is the nature of evil? My wife has been on chemotherapy for 21 years. You've known her for much of that time. She's just been in the hospital for 3 days last week and 3 days this week. It's a terrible thing. Well, bad theology is, one, you blame God, which many people did and do. The second, you say that God doesn't know enough. You limit his omniscience, or you limit his omnipotence, or you limit his omnipresence, or you limit his characters. But it's because people don't understand the both and.
Yeah.
The both and is very simple. Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man. It's not God or man. God alone would be Gnosticism. Man alone would be Arianism. And we understand this in our own lives. Let's say the issue that I guess the author was dealing with was his own anger against his father. But the fact of the matter is, when you're a father and your child is doing something wrong, sometimes you have to discipline them, and sometimes the child sees right. that discipline as being mean. For instance, my son, Jim, who's a major in the Marine Corps and a U.S. attorney down in New Orleans, when he was a little boy, he always wanted to be a Marine, and he was just about 5 or 6. Our dog had just got hit on a busy road. He used to kick the soccer ball across the road just to see whether he could get it across and run across to get it before the trucks came. And I kept telling him to stop. And at one point when he wouldn't stop, I just swatted him a little bit. And he looks up and says, "You're mean." Well, I wasn't mean. I'm trying to save him from
That's
getting
right.
hit like the dog and run over. So if you can't think in terms of both and, then you fall into a bad theodicy, and then you get into heresy.
So that's all about the shack. And Dr. Bayer's my guest. He's the founder and publisher of Movie Guide. And you can go up to movieguide.org and see all of the movies coming out. You can see what they say about them, the reviews. Movieguide.org, Dr. Bayer, in 30 seconds. What else can they find on Movie Guide?
You can find out all about Beauty and the Beast, the good, the bad, and the beastly. You can find out all about the latest movies in entertainment, including one of the best movies of all time, Lego Batman movie. So go to movieguide.org, and every movie, we review 100% of the movies that open in 250 theaters or more, or make $1 million or more. So everything is up there.
I'm Judy Redlake, and you are listening to Encounter. My guest is Dr. Ted Bayer, a good friend of mine. He's the founder and the publisher of Movie Guide, and you can go to movieguide.org and find out about your movies that are coming up. He's also chairman of the Christian Film and Television Commission, speaker, author, lecturer. But Dr. Bayer, you grew up in a star-studded home. Tell us about your boyhood.
Well, my parents were stars. My father won the box office award in 1936. But as I say to my students, when I was head of a department at Berkeley and a head of a department at City University of New York, fame is fleeting. So he did about 80 movies. He starred in about 80 movies. Crime and Punishment was one of the big ones. He also did a Western series, the Bob Tex Allen series, and they're still remembered, although probably not by the youngest generation. I just taught at a school where they couldn't even remember John Wayne, and I almost had a heart attack. It was just a very sad moment in my life. They probably didn't even remember Gene Autry.
Wow.
And my mother was Evelyn Pierce. She starred in movies at the same time and some of the most significant movies. And I grew up in a non-Christian home. And after World War II, he was on Broadway. He starred in Showboat and Man Who Came to Dinner. And during the day, he would do soap operas, and he'd do industrials and commercials, and he'd do the morning show, because in those days, you didn't have residuals. So he had to do everything. And I do all that, too. And my mother died when I was relatively young, in puberty. I went off the deep end, started looking for love in all the wrong places, and started a lot of self-destructive drug use and et cetera. And finally, after getting out of Dartmouth and studying at Cambridge and University of Bordeaux and Toulouse and University of Munich and NYU Law School, I was asked to help put the funding together for 5 feature films for Canon Films. And at that point, somebody gave me a Bible, and after 6 months of delay, they forced me to read it. When I started reading it, my whole life turned around.
Wow,
I
amazing.
I married my wife a week later and went to seminary in New York, which I call cemetery because it was a mainline cemetery. And they owned the rights to the Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And they had gotten those rights in 1954, and they wanted to get on the air. So we got on CBS, and we won an Emmy Award, and we had 37 million viewers. We almost have as many people watch it going to Movie Guide now, right now, as we had then. 37 million viewers was incredible. And I said, you know, I don't need all these viewers. What I need to do is help people succeed. So we dedicated the rest of our life to teaching people how to succeed in Hollywood without losing your soul, and teaching parents how to teach their children to be culture-wise, because the most powerful person in Hollywood is the 18 to 24-year-old who goes to movies.
Wow. And those are the names of 2 of Dr. Bayer's books. He's written lots of books, and you can find those at movieguide.org. Dr. Ted Bayer is my guest on this edition of Encounter. And Dr. Bayer, by the way, was my first guest that I ever interviewed on Christian Connection. And that was the first show that I ever recorded and was on the air. And it was amazing. I was shaking in my boots, Dr. Bayer, when I interviewed you for the first time.
But you know, you were so good. First place, you asked provocative questions, and you're easy to talk to, and you're brilliant. So you know, you just make it interesting. You do a really great job. And I've done a lot of interviews. I've spoke to Hannity and Oprah and all those people. I don't think there's anybody as good as you are as making people feel welcome and helping people to express their views, probably so much so that we don't stop talking. So maybe unlike Judith, you should get to be more like Oprah and cut people off.
Yeah. Well, anyway, thank you so much. That's a real compliment coming from you. And you made me feel really comfortable on that first Christian Connection show, too. In fact, 760 shows later, I stopped doing television and then went to work at Johnny and Friends. And now I'm here today doing this Encounter show. And I'm so excited to be back on local radio. And Dr. Bayer, let's get back to a little bit about you. So you got married and you have four children. And was Lily a Christian when you married her?
Well, first place, I had just come to Christ a week earlier. So when I married her, I got a call to a friend who is a justice of the peace, actually, who is a gay advocate at Dartmouth, a justice of the peace in New Hampshire, and had two friends of his who were also advocates marry us. And then I said, you know, this doesn't feel like a wedding, so we got married again 6 months later. But Lily didn't come to Christ.
That sounds like you.
5 years later.
Wow.
And during that process, God is just wonderful. I wasn't looking for God. He found me. He perfected me. He trained me and went to seminary. I headed up the TV departments at Cityverse in New York, and then I was elected to be head of the organization that did The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe on CBS television. So God has governed every step of the way, and just trusting Him and letting Him take the wheel has just been a wonderful blessing. When we started, there was less than 1% of the movies that had positive Christian content. We've been laboring in this field so long that now 60% of the movies have positive Christian content. Even characters like Captain America are going to church. So we find a lot of good going on. We find a lot of improvements in the way movies are done. Not television, not the news media. That would take a whole nother hour.
That would take a whole nother story, wouldn't it? Yeah, 60%. That's amazing. So what did it take to get the movie industry to turn around to such a big degree?
One of the programs we're talking about, all the criteria we use to look at movies for the audience, we look at the language and the violence and the sexual content, et cetera. But those criteria, 150 criteria, we use to pinpoint the economics of films to show what makes more money. And when you look at all the films out there in terms of that grid of 150 criteria, which is really a biblical worldview toward movies, you find out that movies that are pro-choice don't make money at the box office. So there are fewer and fewer of those, so much so that the New York Times complained that Hollywood isn't making pro-choice movies. Even swarmy little minus four movies are pro-life now. And we see that of the top 10 movies, 80% had a redemptive, moral, biblical, or Christian content and worldview. And only one out of the top 10 was rated R. Only one was.
Wow, amazing.
The rest of them were not.
That is
so
amazing.
So what we do is we show them, if you want to make money, you've got to reach a broad audience. And actually, if you look at those films, they're all family films. So Hollywood is doing more family films. It's trying to reach the family audience. And we help them see how to make money, and they come to us, and we teach them, as I said.
Talk about your classes. Talk about your, have you ever wanted to make it in Hollywood? Talk about.
Well, you should take the class. We do a class on how to succeed in Hollywood without losing your soul, which is the same as the title of the book. It's a four-day intense class. It's like what I used to do when I was head of the department at Berkeley. In 3 years, we do it in 4 days so you don't get any sleep. But it's fun, and you meet Hollywood executives, and you do great things.
And you can find out more about that at movieguide.org. Internships, what do you have?
We have interns, and interns all get to participate in the class. And last year, we had some really fine interns. Interns often go on to great things. One intern who is a great guy, his father was a big Christian leader, wanted to make movies. He was African-American. I think he went to a Will Smith junket with us. And Will Smith said, why are you working for these people who are white when you can work for us? So he got a job there. And another intern got a job with Disney. And the next year he was doing $240 million film for Disney as the second AD. And Then the next year he was the AD on another $200 million Disney film.
Amazing.
So we try to get these. Everything we do is to try to help people succeed.
And your daughter helps you, too. Abby helps you, too, in some of the interviews that you do on some of the movie reviews.
Of the four children, two of them work with me. One of them is a U.S. attorney in New Orleans, and another one is a missionary in Tasmania, Australia. So Evie does the on-air stuff and a lot of the other stuff behind the scenes, and Robbie does the COO financial, although he could do the on-air too.
And it's amazing they have 34 million people that go to movieguide.org. That is really amazing. Tell us
all the time.
Tell us
all the time.
The challenges you face. What are you have about 2 minutes left, Dr. Bayer, and if you could use half of that to share about some of the major challenges you face as you are trying to make the difference.
Up until now, the easiest place for us to work was Hollywood. Hollywood is my home. It's been my home for years. They're open to what we tell them. They work with us. They come by the office. They take classes, et cetera. Probably the challenge is really the church. You know, if every week 117 million to 135 million people go to church, but only 20 million to 25 million people go to movies. So the church is a gigantic institution. It's the biggest institution. And if, as a friend of mine once said, if Christians just acted like Christians, we'd solve most of the cultural problems that we have today. So what we need is for Christians to develop discernment, and that's what we do. We try to teach them discernment. So the biggest challenge is getting the church motivated to be a culture change agent for the good, the true, and the beautiful, so for the benefit of their children and grandchildren, so they can teach their children and grandchildren to be culture-wise, redeem the culture, and turn it into a beautiful civilization.
Dr. Ted Bayer has been my guest. He's the founder and publisher of Movie Guide. Go to movieguide.org. Find out about all the great movies coming up, some that have been on the screen before. You can read reviews, listen to reviews, and look at YouTube videos. The Family Guide to Movie and Entertainment. And he's also chairman of Christian Film and Television Commission.
So
you can go to
movieguide.org.
There's a great place to subscribe
about
to all
what's
of
out
the
there
various
and how can they
that
subscribe?
Movie Guide offers.
We do, and
Dr.
Thank
Bayer,
you so
we
much,
wish
you.
God's blessings
so
on you
to
as you continue
or
to make waves
not only
in the movie industry, but
to all
throughout the world
as
you're speaking
that
to congregations all over. Dr. Bayer,
and
we wish
so
God's
much,
blessings on you as you continue to make waves not only in the movie industry, but throughout the world as you're speaking to congregations all over.